It's our pleasure to welcome back Karen from Yumi Real Estate. Welcome, Karen.
Hi.
How are you, love?
I'm well. Yeah? It's warm in here.
Yeah. Karen's no wind. Been a bit chilly.
Yeah, the wind's crazy out there.
Yeah, it's chilly.
So tell us.
We were just debating whether there was a downtown and an uptown Katoomba CBD.
Oh.
Downtown, uptown.
I don't think I'll buy into that one.
No?
No.
Well,
no.
I'm thinking, you know, I have a very, you know, weird brain, like north is always whatever way I'm facing forward, that's north to me. But I think, you know, top, bottom, like, yeah. isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a real estate agent, obviously, so I have to know where north is because it's all about the north. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So top of the hill.
So to be a real estate agent, you have to have geography, at least
a compass.
No, you
just have to have a compass on your iPhone.
Oh, hey, that's a – yeah, I never thought to use that.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time.
I thought you were just clever. Because I don't even know what side the sun comes up.
Well, that's why I have a Jeep compass, because it's got a compass on board.
You cannot be serious.
It rises in the east.
That's it.
But I couldn't tell you what way east is, because north's always whichever way I'm facing
forward. Just look to Sydney. Just look to the beach at Sydney.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Fantastic. All right. Well, if I've got a compass and I want to sell real estate, what else do I need?
Well, I just thought today I'd tell you a little bit about my story with real estate, because I've often over the years been looking for people to come on board and sell real estate with Yumi, so I thought I'd talk about how I came to do what I do, which some days I wonder why, but generally real estate's been very, very kind to me. And so I sort of found myself in a situation about 9 years ago where I had been home with my son, and I'd worked in corporate in Sydney for many years and probably wouldn't be here if I, I'd be dead if I hadn't left all that. And so I thought, well, what can I do? I didn't want to go back to corporate. I wanted some flexibility to be with my son when I needed to be, whether it was school things or health issues or whatever. So I went and got my license. And it's just such a wonderful thing to do, not just when you're a single mum, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing to do when you want to be local, because we all know that work up here can be a little difficult, a bit
Absolutely.
Of a challenge. And so it's this fabulous thing to do where you have flexibility. Yes, it's hard work, you know, but the hard work can be done at all hours of the day and night. And, so I went and got my license and, oh, look, the first year I worked out of an office and I worked commission only, which is the way I chose to work, and I earned very, very little money.
As
it was
you would.
A very tough year. The market was low and slow, and obviously I was sort of finding my way. But I built up quite a nice little reputation for myself, and it's just been a great thing to do. So I encourage, you know, women perhaps if they're listening, you know, to investigate it. And I'm always happy to chat to anybody. You know, it doesn't mean you have to come on board or want to come on board, but I'm always happy to talk to people about the pros and cons and how it works. And
Are you actually looking to grow your team?
Oh, I'd love to grow the team. Probably the most critical thing for me though is finding like-minded people.
Yes.
Who, I think that's any businesses.
You know, I sort of pride myself on being very authentic and transparent and service orientated. I walk away from listings rather than take them on if I don't believe that I can get the money that the vendor wants.
Or there's a synergy between you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that really is the basis of Yumi when I set it up, was not to have 50 listings but to have a handful that was saleable that I could look after. And I'd love to grow the team, but, I don't want to put an ad in and, it's not sort of we'll take whoever you can get. Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah, so it's more of a desire than a need at this point in time. So if the right person was to present themselves, then...
Absolutely. You know, there's room for everybody, and there's certainly, you know, room for somebody to build a really nice little business for themselves under the Yumi umbrella. You know, the infrastructure is there. And, you know, the reputation is there. And, you know, so it's, yes, I'm not saying that they're going to, find it really easy and walk in and earn, you know, large sums of money very, very quickly. But it really is down to to them, I'll help them as much as possible. Absolutely. But, you know, it's about building a network.
Yeah, so and building the network takes time, doesn't it? That's what people don't understand when they jump into a role like that.
For sure. Yeah. And it really is word of mouth. It's, you know, the best advertisement is, you know.
And you've got to earn that right. It's not a given when you start in the industry and in any industry that you've got to earn the respect. And once you've got the respect and you have sort of had a few challenges and you've worked with some people and that you create that what we call a pipeline. But once you've got that pipeline going, it just feeds itself. But you've really got to understand that it's not easy in those first days, and if anyone thinks that they're going to come into any sales role without doing the hard yards and building those rapports, and
doesn't happen.
That's right.
It certainly, I was reading an article online on the weekend, and it was about how, you know, anybody can sell when the market's really active. And it doesn't matter whether it's in real estate or in a retail situation or whatever, but you know, to go the hard yards when the market's tight, you know, it does take persistence. And just because you've got friends selling doesn't mean they're going to sell through you. Yeah. A lot of people won't sell through people they know, as in know personally. So it's, you do have to put in the hard yards.
So you've got persistence is a key attribute someone needs to have. What else do you think?
I think you have to be able to read people really well. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to have this saying of, you know, when I was in recruitment, throwing heads at jobs, and I think the same thing, throwing people at houses. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. I think we've talked about this before, Peter, where I'll have people come in and say, look, you know, I have to have at least a half an acre, has to be flat, has to be five bedroom house, and they end up buying, you know, on a 400 square metre block, you know,
split level, two bedroom.
So you have to read between the lines a little, and I sort of, I think that's probably one of my strongest attributes, is that I read people pretty well. You can never judge a book by its cover. Somebody can look as if they haven't got 2 cents to rub together, and vice versa. You can have somebody come in and look like they've,
dripping,
you know, can
in gold,
buy anything, and they don't. But
you'd also have to be pretty organised and
very organised,
priority manager, I imagine,
particularly when you work from home. Yep. Like if you work for yourself and you work from home, you have to be very self motivated. You know, by all means, I'm quite often seen at my desk in my tracky dacks or my gym gear or whatever.
My new UGG boots.
Yeah, I know what I have to do and I get it done. I'm very efficient. You need to follow up. Again, I suppose you can see that people, you might assume that somebody didn't like something and yet they're the very one that when you pick up the phone they want to see it again or they want to put an offer in. So,
don't assume.
You can't assume anything.
I just got this fantastic real estate story when I was living in Sydney and looking for a house in the mountains. I organised these appointments and the house I ended up buying, we must have looked at like 100 houses in the first 6 months we were looking. And we saw this house and we booked an appointment with it and the real estate agent didn't turn up.
Oh, no.
And so we stopped looking for 3 months and then when we came back it was still on the market and the real estate agent had changed and they turned up.
Did you buy that house?
Yes.
Ha, there you go.
Yeah.
And I guess too, Karen, I think there's a real misconception out there with people see real estate fees and assume that, oh, you've earned that much money and you've just shown my house on a weekend. Do you know what I mean? They don't understand all of the legwork, the research.
And just the costs of putting one listing up online. You know, I hear it all the time. Oh, well, you're lucky. You work from home.
Lucky.
You don't have any overhead. I have huge overhead.
Yes.
Yes, I don't pay rent, but I don't have a property management division either, which is what pays your rent and pays your wages.
The rest of the business, yes.
It underpins it all. And, you know, realestate.com and Domain, you know, are extremely expensive portals.
Yes.
You must be on them. You can't afford not to be.
Yep.
But every time you put a property up, you're looking at a couple of $1,000 just to put up a property. And that's without photography and signs and letterhead and business cards and everything else that you do.
And also just running your office software. Just running your computer office.
Exactly.
System
yeah.
And,
that's
know,
exactly.
And the six weeks that it takes to, you know, to put the property on the market and get it marketed and then buy it and find a buyer, and then potentially that buyer's got to get through cooling off period and then get to settlement. Like, you know, you're talking.
And the knowledge and skill it takes to do what you said before, which are all these attributes that you have, like reading the client.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, okay, we all know we've had a couple of, you know, extremely good years. But with those extremely good
years
comes exactly, and it really is famine or feast. I was only talking about, to somebody on the weekend about, you know, you have to not assume, as much as you don't put it out there, that it's going to be tough. You have to plan for those downtimes, and particularly in the mountains. Prior to those, you know, couple of years where we were selling things within a week. You know, 222 days was average days on market. That's a long time between drinks, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is a it's quite a controlled market because there isn't land in the upper mountains. It's not growing as such there. So, you know, you can't have it all. It's very competitive. It's highly competitive. And I think as an agent, you ask Julie what, you know, you have to just be on top of what everybody's doing, but not worry about what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's really, you're an expert in your field, and I think that's what people need to understand. I've got an example at the moment where I've got some clients that are committed to a purchase, not in the mountains at Silverdale, and it's an expensive purchase, and the only way they can meet this purchase is to sell their house. And okay, they've got a delayed settlement till October, so they're kind of like, oh yeah, and they're knocking back offers, and I'm thinking, this is crazy stuff. Yep. You're knocking back offers for 10-20K, and if you stand to not meet this settlement in October, it's going to cost you 120K.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, so really making sure that your agent, I guess as far as the skill set, which is what we're talking about today, is being able to make your buyers and your vendors understand the market that you don't know what tomorrow holds.
Well, again, it comes from trust. Like, obviously, we don't have a crystal ball, and we have to be very careful legally what we say. We can't give people advice, so to speak. Mm. But, you know, again, it boils down to that relationship where people trust you, where you say, you know what, I think this is your buyer. I feel, my gut tells me this is your buyer. Someone might come in, you know, $5,000 more, and you start playing those games. And I know the job is to get them the most money, but you do have to advise people and say, well, you know, I think that this is the way you should go, because you're the person who's met those buyers.
Yes.
And everybody wants what they think they can't have.
Yeah.
And I had it with a business last, with a commercial business up in Lithgow last week, you know, and you sit and you say to the vendor, look, this is my advice. They may take it, they may not, but we see it day in and day out, and you would see it in the business you're in, Peter, where people will lose a couple of buyers for the sake of $2,000.
And I think, you know, do the numbers. Like, if you've got a mortgage on a property, this is my conversation with them. If you've got a mortgage, work out what the interest is for every month that you carry that. Because you know what? I had a property that we tried to sell for 12 months. Mm. So it's not always this turning over like it is at the moment. And we knocked back the first offer that we had. It took us 12 months to then sell it, and we sold it for less than what that first offer was initially.
That is so common. So common, it's frightening.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always go to flow that way, but in most instances, the best offer you get is in those first few weeks.
Yeah.
You may get a silly one as well.
Yes.
But generally speaking, that's when you're going to get that big offer. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting game, but
It is what it is. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why they need to seek an expert like Karen. So if anybody wants more information about potentially a real estate career, they can look you up online, www.yumirealestate.com.au.
That's the one. Give me a call on 0414 470 230.
Thanks, love. We look forward to seeing you in another fortnight.
You will, indeed.
Okay.